Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Thank you so much for taking time today to talk to us. I might start by saying you've known Sarah from Delusions of Reference for a while, haven't you?
I have. Sarah and I met within the program called Mercy Ministries back in 2006.
Ah, and we will get back to that. When we find her as well. So tell me, I mean, you had quite different backgrounds though. How did you wind up in Hillsong?
So I grew up in a pretty conservative Christian household from kindy all the way through school, went to very strict Christian schools, quite small Christian schools. I kind of they very much the fire and brimstone teachings. If you're aware, there's a group over in the US called Calvary Chapel. So that was the primary school that I went to, and that kind of Pentecostal four square church kind of foundations of that. Yeah, so grew up going to church. Church was all through school, God, Christ, Holy Spirit, all of that fun stuff.
What was the education like there?
That was education. We kind of look back now, some of the people that I go to school with, and we look back at some of the, like, your history and science and all of that, and everything was Bible-based. Everything was God-based. The most learning I did, I think, was once I got well into my 20s, because I actually was aware of stuff that actually happened, not stuff that happened in the Bible and all of that, which was what school was kind of restricted to.
Wow. I mean, that's intense. How do you kind of operate and make decisions in the big bad world out there when you go out? How did that work for you? Did you stay in that arena, or like, what's the, say, like, after school finishes, like, what happens? Or
So I guess it was towards the end of school. So I left in year 10 because of the reason that we'll get into a bit later. So I went towards the end of school, it was kind of like, I really just went straight from school into Mercy. I left school in year 10.
Okay.
And I applied to go, so I guess I'll track back a bit. So kind of mid-primary school, maybe I was like 9 or 10, started struggling with like mental health stuff, which is quite young, really, really quite young. And
Yeah.
From a religious perspective, it wasn't necessarily seen as mental health in the first instance. It was demonic influence or, So, and that's what my school taught.
A little kid. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then moving forward, kind of got into high school and it was kind of wasn't really going away. So the best solution that anyone could have was a Bible-based program that helped young women. So I didn't really have that opportunity to explore the world in between school and, well, after leaving school. So I was 15 in year 9 when I applied to go to Mercy Ministries. And ended up leaving school at the end of year 10. I'd turned 16, which was the youngest that they would accept a girl into Mercy Ministries, and pretty much jumped straight from school into the home.
I mean, can you tell me as best you want to or are able, how had the church / school dealt with the mental health? When you say demonic, what they done with you? What are they?
Very much prayer, hands, laying of hands, more church, more church, more church. That was kind of the prescription, I guess, that school and church gave. I hadn't really started going to Hillsong that much up until probably the year prior to leaving school.
Okay, but they were okay with that.
I think it was called Wildlife. Year 7 to 10, that would probably be the group that I was in. Yeah, I remember a few people kind of at Hillsong, the volunteers. I think they would have been, well, I'm guessing they probably would have been college students volunteering on the bus to and from and youth group and all of that. I kind of confided in them, but considering that I'd said that I'd applied to go to Mercy and they knew what Mercy was because it was linked to Hillsong, there wasn't really much of a push from them to do anything about it because they were like, oh, it's already in hand.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And are you comfortable sharing with us like a diagnosis or a kind of health?
Yeah. So throughout my teens, it was classified as, I guess, adolescent depression. They can't really give you anything until you kind of well into your 20s. And then after Mercy, so I was in Mercy for 13 months.
Oh, okay. Yep. Cool.
From 2006 to 2007, the diagnosis was chronic PTSD and bipolar 1.
Okay. And currently, is that where you're sitting?
Currently, I'm actually not quite sure. It's been a couple of years. I know that the PTSD thing, I would probably say, is still there in some aspects. I wouldn't necessarily agree with the bipolar diagnosis anymore.
And so then what, Hillsong is after Mercy. Do you start attending Hillsong? Is that how that goes?
So throughout Mercy, we went to Hillsong, morning, noon and night. And then after Mercy, I went to the city campus for a little bit. And now I was only 17 when I left Mercy, and there was quite a big kerfuffle when I left because there was a really big push to keep girls in the bubble. So to keep girls living with Hillsong families, living with Mercy supporters up in the hills, the Bible Belt, I call it. And I turned around and said, no, shove it. I wanted to move back in with my family, with my friends that were just doing their HSC, back down Southern Sydney. And so I was going to city campus for a bit to kind of keep Mercy happy, but then I just dropped off and ended up finding a church in Newtown, actually. Like, it was just kind of like a grassroots couple of friends that I went to school with in a church hall on a Saturday night, which Mercy didn't like at all, because I guess I wasn't able to be watched.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that sort of Stepford wife conversation is limited as well.
Correct.
Mm. So, okay. So then what happens after that? I mean, how did they kind of, I guess, how did they approach mental health compared with, you know, what you'd known before? And sort of what happens, sort of, I guess, after that?
That church?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess because they were all so young, they didn't really know what to do. And I would say that I was quite open about where I'd been in the year prior, considering I'd seen a lot of them at school, then I disappeared for a year and then popped back up at this random church hall. They were understanding to an extent. I developed pretty severe, that's the other thing I missed. I developed pretty severe anorexia after I left Mercy. So a lot of that was quite visible to everybody. And I find it was a bit of a weird one because it was so in your face, like it was quite obvious what was going on to other people around me. I felt more that they, I don't know, whether it was that they thought they didn't want to bring it up. They weren't as forthcoming as with if you've got depression or any kind of mental illness that they can lay hands on and let's get these demons out, because it was like, it was physical. It was quite obvious what was going on. And I felt like it kind of maybe scared them a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, so then where do you go from there? What's life been like since there? Where we, I mean, and we don't have to make it a long drawn out one if you don't want, you know, yeah. Make it jump back on with Sarah.
I'd say probably like I kind of use the example of for every month in Mercy, it kind of took on like it took X amount of months. Like for every month, it was worth X amount of months in the real world to get over it. Not even get over it. You don't get over something like that. I would say it would really only be up to maybe like in the last 4 or 5 years that I've actually kind of really can say that I'm good in that, in terms of the church, in terms of any kind of religious institution type stuff. Yeah, I did try and attend a Hillsong service once, probably about 3 years ago. It was quite funny just to see, like, you know, when you just get curious and you're like, I wonder what these people are doing now. And I trekked my way up because I knew that there was a Hillsong women thing on a Thursday morning, and went up there on my own, didn't know anyone, didn't tell anyone I was going. I'm sure if my parents found out, they'd do triple backflips thinking that I'd come back to Christ. And found myself in this Hillsong women's service, sat through the first couple of songs, like gritting teeth. I was like, this is like, it does bring back a lot, especially when you had those formative years being 16, 17, whatever, basically breathing and eating and sleeping this church kind of thing, and made it through probably about 20 minutes of the actual service and was this God, was this fate? I don't know. But until I'm sitting there and Donna Crouch got up and she was like, I want to welcome a very special guest today. And it turns out I'd rocked up on the same day as one of the program managers from Mercy.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no way, I'm out. Ow. And I grabbed my bag and I just walked straight out.
Ow.
And I was
So there's still that.
She's still around, this lady.
So, like, I thought.
Mercy Ministries was shut down in 2009, but this woman that was one of the program managers towards the end has quite tight connections with Hillsong still.
Oh.
I think she's married to Brian's sister's son.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny, because have you heard that recording that of those guys, by the way, the audio of Brian and Bobby?
No.
Go on Hillsong Kerfuffle. I'll send you a link. Yep. They didn't switch the mics off when they were recording their rehearsals for online church. Yeah, so the real them is there.
Love it.
It's lovely. All right, so where are we? Okay, so then, I mean, as much as you want to kind of, so you said your parents would do backflips if they thought you'd come back to Christ. So am I to presume that you've stepped away from your walk with the Lord? Is that happening? Where are you now? What do you want to tell us?
I am no longer consumed by Christ. Yeah, it was Mercy that, in saying that though, when I left Mercy and probably for 2 or 3 years afterwards, yes, okay, like I said, like I kind of stepped away and tried a few different churches and stepped away from the Hillsong thing. I do still remember I had this like pull or push. I don't know what it was. It was like a guilt thing that I had to be a Christian. Uh-huh. Because of the stuff that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Cool song because of the stuff that Mercy taught you, which is, if we can't heal you, no one can.
Ooh.
Mm. And it's kind of, I do remember that I was still very much in a churchy Christian mindset, probably for about 3 years after Mercy. And then when it all folded, I think, or maybe just after that, I slipped. And I was like, so that would have probably been about 2009-ish. I was like, I want nothing to do with the church.
Yep.
I want nothing to do with, yeah, any type of, any form, denomination, anything of Christianity. And really, yeah, walked away. And I don't know, I guess when you grow up with that kind of, when you grow up with such a strict observance level in any religion, there'll always be kind of like that hole left if you do leave, I guess, because everyone needs some kind of meaning. Like that's what religion is. Everybody wants to know what happens after you die. We need some kind of confidence knowing that we're going to go to heaven, or we're going to go to some garden, or we're going to, like, whatever religion teaches you of the afterlife, that's what religion serves as a purpose in this life.
That's
kind of my belief, as well as being a good person, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I would say that I'm not, definitely not part of the church anymore, which my parents are fine with at the moment.
So where do we leave this now? I'm thinking, I mean, what else did we want to throw in? What else do we want to do before?
Just trying to think.
Like, so what else?
Really talking about Hillsong, yeah.
Yeah, and mental health, and
I can tell the story of the lounge.
Well, I was just going to ask you.
I am on the Prosperity Lounge at the moment.
Oh, so cool. Look at that. Because you went on a trip to a garage sale. And tell us, you were one of the people that went to Closet Baby Closet.
I did.
And wow.
So I will share this story because I am quite proud of this lounge. So I don't know whether you'd call it closure. No, I'm going to call it closure. Mm-hmm. So obviously, yes, okay, I'm over. Like, this is last year? No, year before. When was Closet Baby Closet?
Closet Baby Closet. It's a timeless event in heaven.
All the years have mixed up lately, but I want to say probably, I reckon it was last year, early last year, or yeah, late the year before. So only recent in the scheme of things. I guess chatting to you and chatting to Sarah and kind of like still being caught up in all the Hillsong drama, I find it fascinating now. Like it doesn't really trigger anything. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating. And so that plus the fact of, I'm going to put it bluntly, we needed a new lounge. I got really kind of like, I was really interested in this garage sale that Brian and Bobby were doing. And I thought, you know what, there are probably so many Hills women that are looking at this going, oh, my God, I want a piece of their life, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, you know what, I just want to get something to say that I've like, is it I've made it or I've, how do you put it?
A souvenir, no.
A souvenir, well, kind of, like a more of like a, it's a prize. Like, look at where I am and look at where you are now. And who's got the better lounge? So,
who's looking through who's rubbish and poking it about? And
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's the story of the Prosperity Lounge, we call it. And I thought, I'm absolutely not going to, like, this is just too good to be true. The fact that I may be potentially in a position to profit off somebody's misfortune, aka the Houstons. And I thought, I'll try my luck. So I messaged this Closet Baby Closet. Felt so gross doing so because of that whole, it just screamed Hillsong women. But I was like, let's see how far we go. So I messaged and I got a response and I was like, oh, no way. And did all the logistical stuff. Like, I was like, definitely interested. Obviously, I'm not mentioning anything about my past whatsoever. Immediately, I knew that I'd be blocked. And so message was really nice, really polite, gritting my teeth, asked for the dimensions, knew it wouldn't really fit, but I was like, you know what? Like, this is like, I have to do this. Yeah. So ended up organizing a date. I think it was like 2 days later, got my dad with a trailer who his response to me was like, how the hell did you end up in this situation? Like, it's kind of one of those parent moments with, oh, well, my God, what has my child done now?
It was so strange to have this sudden access to what the Houston family home. They were selling things from their home.
Correct. So I thought to myself, like, we're traveling up there. Now, it was a drive. Like, obviously, Glen Haven in the Hills District was probably the first time in many, many moons that I've been up there because that's where Mercy was. They were literally around the corner from the Mercy house. So I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And so rock up and I thought, and I'd said to my fiance at the time and my dad, I was like, 100% Brian and Bobby will not be there. Like, who would sit around and watch people take stuff from their home? And my dad agreed and he was like, look, I'm just coming to load a bloody lounge into a trailer. I was like, cool. All good. And so walk down this like massive long driveway and I see they've got the garage and then like a front door and like a big glass panel on one of the sides of the front doors. And I was like, no way. And I said to my dad, I was like, that's Bobby and she's here. And I was like, no. And so I'm starting to freak out. Like, my hands are getting all sweaty. Like, I'm getting that same reaction as I used to get, kind of like with authority figures in that Hillsong Mercy sphere in those years. And I was like, and I just had to tell myself, I'm like, this is just a woman who's selling a couch. Just a woman that's selling a couch.
Yes.
And went in, did the sale, and waited till So my dad and now husband moved everything into the trailer and had to have probably maybe 10 minutes of awkward small talk with Bobby, who had a leg in a brace. So it was just kind of like, it was just awkwardly standing around. She was like, oh, I love your tattoos. And I was like, okay, like I'm just, it's a bit awkward because I don't know whether she'd had a fall. I don't know. She was a bit messed up.
She had fallen down the stairs or tripped down in Darlene's slippers. Yes.
There we go. So it was shortly after that. And I was probably talking to her maybe like 5 or 10 minutes. And then Brian comes downstairs with a plate of chicken. So that you and I have had many jokes about this. And my dad ran into him at the front door. And I was just, you kind of have one of those out of body moments where you're like, if me 10 years or 15 years ago could see this now, like you would definitely not believe it. Like I am standing in Brian and Bobby's house, taking one of their probably very expensive prized possessions away from them, purely because of whatever's going on in their life, which I don't particularly care about. I just want this prize. And yeah, it was very surreal.
Like barbecue chicken? We're talking like roasted chicken?
Just like a Woolies chook.
Any coleslaw? Like any kind of?
No, it was the remnants. And I'm guessing he was coming down the same stairs.
So he's just a dad on a Saturday at lunch like everyone else.
Correct. He's just coming downstairs, cash clothes, and yeah.
No Bible college students to chew his meat for him anymore. But
there was the one that was helping them very much. Very odd to watch that. You kind of feel for the Bible college students that kind of get caught up in everything because you're like, you could be spending your time doing so much more. But I did in those 2 days leading up to picking up the Prosperity Lounge. I was like, do I do something? Like, do I give them a letter? Do I say who I am? They had no idea who I am. They would have known the scenarios that I would have been in. So I did write a letter, just a little kind of like, I don't know, little A5 kind of little note. And I thought, and I took it with me and I was like, if I get an opportunity to give it to them, I will. If I don't, then it's not meant to be. And it was a letter basically saying that it wasn't spiteful. It was more of I was a mercy girl. I spent a lot of time in Hillsong, but now it's kind of like, I don't know, over the other side, and I can't even remember what it was like. It was something along the lines of, I hope they can see how much damage the programs that they supported did to a lot of people, but definitely not spiteful.
Yeah. And bitter, like he always said, oh, she's just bitter.
Yeah, yes. wasn't bitter. It was more like, yeah, look at where I am now. You don't know me, but this is where I've been. And yeah.
Good for you. So what'd you do?
When we were leaving, my dad and my now husband had put the lounge up in the truck and they were waiting at the top of the driveway. I guess they probably couldn't wait to get out of there quick enough. And Brian had gone back upstairs. I can't remember whether plate refilled or not. And
pudding, was it?
Hey.
Martin nearly been time for his pudding.
Correct. And I had and I turned around and the Bible college student was there. Bobby had just turned around to go inside. And I said to the Bible college student, I was like, can you give this to Brian and Bobby? And she was like, oh my gosh, sweetheart, absolutely. Thank you so much for your support. I think she thought it was like a letter of gratitude. It definitely was not.
Ow.
But she took it. Whether they read it or not, I don't know. I didn't leave any contact details. I don't even think I left my full name. But because I don't want a response. I don't want any contact. It was purely just more of a, maybe it was like a last word thing. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, love it. And how's
it's really good. Now? It survived a move recently. It's very comfortable. Very what do we call it? Italian designer.
Oh yeah, and I'm told that they would, you know, have had theirs because they had put retail, you know, retail price, their price, and then I'm told that, you know, the prices were actually a lot higher. They just have some sense of shame or social awareness or something.
Yeah. Well, from what I think we were looking at and our little kind of sleuthing skills, I think I probably only paid like, what, 10% of what it was worth?
Okay.
5%?
I mean, if that's...
We won't put it on, but I think I got it for $2,500 or $3,000. But okay. I think from the look of it, I reckon it's probably worth, and I think you said it was probably around the 20, 25 mark. Yeah.
Nice.
This is no fantastic piece of furniture.
Well, and a Hillsonger used to own fantastic furniture too, by the way. One of the Diongs. Yes. So Well, that's a lovely piece of closure, I think, piece of furniture. Yeah. If you've got some use, but, you know, you can get some use out of it.
Yeah. Sort
of first Hillsong purchase where anyone's had something to show for it.
I do know that I do remember Bobby's face when I said to her, because she was like, oh, like it'll be a lovely addition to your home, like meaning the lounge. And I said to her pretty bluntly, like, and I wasn't even thinking. I think, you know, when you're so nervous, you don't even think and just like stuff comes out. And I said, yeah, my dog needs a new place to sleep. And her face just kind of dropped. Yeah. As she turns around to go and fix her Jo Malone candle. Yeah. It was just the house is, it's insane. Well, was insane. No longer theirs anymore. But you can probably see. Well, hold on. There she is sleeping.
Aww.
So, but yeah.
Aww. Let's say goodbye for now, and we'll be right back with Sarah when she joins us in the room.
In the room. Sounds good.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Britt.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.